The History of Stonehenge, an Overview and Timeline of Stonehenge. Now, Stonehenge is one of the most iconic monuments in the world. There's been a lot of discussion about it. There's been a lot of books written about it. I remember initially reading about it in the 1960s when you had the classic works Stonehenge, Decoded, and Beyond Stonehenge by Gerald Hawkins. And now, with all the information that we're gathering, not only from archaeology, but from DNA studies and aerial photography, what we know about this Neolithic period and the Bronze Age in this region is growing rapidly. Practically every day a new article comes out on Stonehenge. So I want to do a little series on Stonehenge and this overview initially. First of all, I'm going to do a little timeline of the Stonehenge construction and the area around Stonehenge. The second part will be the construction periods because it's not built all at one time. The third part will be how Stonehenge was actually built by the people. Then we'll get into the history. The fourth part, which may be multiple parts, will be about Stonehenge from 1600 BC until 1950. In 1600 BC, it was not being used for anything. As a matter of fact, the ground is being plowed around it at this point. And then the final show will be about Stonehenge from 1950 to present. But as I said before, when it comes to sources, there's new sources every day. You literally need an archaeological magazine that comes out to come up with the newest ideas. Although a lot of the things that are going on at Stonehenge are being kind of overshadowed by the spectacular discoveries in Egypt. So anyway, let's look at the sacred enclosure that we know as Stonehenge. And I've been to a couple of exhibits. They weren't bad, but they were more about the area surrounding Stonehenge than they were about Stonehenge. And they tended to boost their area and kind of leave Stonehenge in the side. But let's go back and start at the beginning. We used to believe that Stonehenge, the area where we find the stones, was really kind of a 3000 BC to about 1500 BC. Well, that area goes back further. The carbon dating that we get basically comes from antlers that were found at the site, which were used to do excavation. And from the studies of the carbon dating, we find that people have been on this site as far back as 8500 BC. Now, that is in the Mesolithic period, the Middle Stone Age. So they're really still hunting and gathering for the most part. It's not until you get to the Neolithic period where you get the domestication of plants and animals, which allow people to stay in one place. At this 8500 to 7000 BC, there were actually wooden posts that were raised on the northwest part of the Stonehenge site. Then you go down to about 4000 BC, and 4000 BC is on the cusp between the Middle Stone Age and the New Stone Age, the Neolithic. It's in what's known as the Early Neolithic period. You have the first farming in southern Britain around this time. You also have the first pottery found in southern Britain at this time. When we move to 3600 BC, Robin Hood's Ball and Lark Hill are built. These are stone constructions. In 3500 BC, long barrows in the Stonehenge landscape is created, and frequently barrows are burial sites. In 3400 BC, the Stonehenge Cursus and Lesser Cursus is built, which is kind of a road-like area. And then in 3300 BC and the rest of Europe, we find Otzi, the Iceman that was discovered in the Alps. But you also see the standing stones erected at Carnac, France, being placed. And then we get to 3000 BC. That's where we have the first Stonehenge being built. 2900 BC, there is the peak of occupation at Scarbrae in Orkney. And in 2800 BC, we have beaker pottery made in Europe. And there is beaker culture in Britain later. 2700 BC, grooved-ware pottery is found in the Stonehenge area. And then we get to 2500 BC, and everything explodes. 2500 BC is the approximate time of the building of the Great Pyramid. It is also the time in which the Avery Henge is built in England. Woodhenge, which is a circular construction made entirely out of wood, which is not far from Stonehenge, that is constructed. And then you have the settlements and the monuments at Durrington Walls being constructed. So this in this area, there's a massive amount of action going on construction-wise. So it's not surprising that it's at this time, 2500 BC, that the first Stonehenge stone circle is built. But remember, this is going to be built and added on and built and added on. Then we get to 2400 BC, the first metal objects in Britain, copper and gold, are found. That's also the time period when the first beaker pottery is found in the Stonehenge area. This indicates migrations from Europe. And we find in 2400 BC the Amesbury Archer burial. In 2300 BC, the avenue is built, which would have probably gone from Woodhenge to Stonehenge. And then there is another Stonehenge Archer burial that is found. They have mock-ups of this in the Visitor Center Museum there at the site. In 2200 BC, the Stonehenge blue stones are rearranged. There are periods of time in Stonehenge where the stones are maneuvered around and moved. In 2200 BC, you also have the first bronze metalworking in Britain. This is a big deal, particularly for Britain, not just because they're making bronze, but because in order to have it, you need tin. And there's a tremendous tin area in the Cornwall region of Britain. And is probably supplying tin for most of Western Europe. In 2100 to 1500 BC, a lot of Bronze Age barrows are built in the Stonehenge landscape. And there's no question that this site, the whole area, has lots of burials. In 2000 BC, we get away from England, we go over to Crete. This is the final construction of the Palace of Knossos. It's been built over and added on and added on. In 1800 BC, we have the Bush Barrow burial. In 1700 BC, Bronze Age carvings are actually found on the Stonehenge stones. So they've either begun to lose their significance or there's some intent of perhaps adding a little magic to it. But by 1500 BC, the area of the Stonehenge landscape is now being plowed, which indicates its importance, its religious significance, has dwindled significantly. Now, it's interesting to note this 1500 BC is the time when the Bronze Age is beginning to collapse in the eastern part of the Mediterranean. And soon you'll have the Sea Peoples and the collapse of the Mycenaeans and the Minoans have collapsed. And there's a large migration from that part of the world towards the west. And some of them get as far as Ireland. The new DNA studies that they found show that these people were from the Levant in some cases. So the one thing you want to picture is that we just don't have the people in the area building the stone Stonehenge, and it's there. They start doing something simpler. They gradually build up to the stone. They embellish it by bringing stones from other places, and they rearrange them periodically. This is something I'll talk about next time on the construction of Stonehenge. And then it's left to its own devices. Now, one of the things that caused some problems, obviously you see it today, it goes, wow, that has stood the test of time. You'll find as we go through this series that many of the stones had fallen over the centuries. Many of the stones had been harvested by the locals for materials to do other buildings. But what happened is, when they built the first stone structures, they have very, very shallow foundations. So ultimately, the weathering and the wear pushed them over in some cases. So this is just a little bit of the timeline of Stonehenge, and I'm sure that 2 days after I publish this for everybody to listen to, a new book or article will come out and push it or change it some way or another. So if you're really interested in Stonehenge, you have to keep your eye out for new information because it's coming out all the time. Now, the sources I've used over this, and I'm going to count the old ones. A lot of the stuff by Hawkins was correct, and Crampton's work. But you have The Stonehenge of Kings by Crampton, and that's first published in 1965. When, in many cases, a lot of people, not me, I'm only 13 at the time, but a lot of people are trying to figure out, what were they used for? And then, of course, you have Beyond Stonehenge in 1967 by Gerald Hawkins, and then Stonehenge Decoded, a very important work in 1973 by Gerald Hawkins. And then we have some nice guides, Stonehenge by Bishop, and Stonehenge and Neighboring Monuments by J.C. Atkinson. The British Heritage Society produces spectacular works, so whenever you visit one of these sites, please pick those up for your library. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com. Ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs, check out the merchandise. If you go to YouTube, to the Bob Packett channel, I am doing a Traveling Professors series on Stonehenge, and I have just completed the first of two, and this one is an exterior walk around Stonehenge and the outside of it. Now, I know some of you will say, well, that's the only way you can see it. No, it is not. You can get a special tour which allows you to walk inside Stonehenge, and we were inside Stonehenge for a half an hour, and the second show from the Traveling Professors will be what it looks like from the interior. So that is on YouTube on the Bob Packett channel. So I hope you enjoyed this, and thank you very much.